stepping stone. And then coming into college was when I started my fashion blog, which, you know, evolved into social media, influencing, content creation, all of that. And then that also kind of snowballed into a newfound confidence, I think. Just building my own brand and finding confidence. I guess kind of two things come to mind. I'll just start with kind of my mantra, if you will. It's something that I think really expresses who I am, and it's just stay humble and have hustle. Those are kind of my two big values, if you will. It's so important, I think, to stay humble no matter how successful you get, no matter where life takes you. That's a quality I absolutely look for in everyone that I look up to as, you know, a mentor or a role model. And then to have hustle always, you know, to work hard. Work ethic is huge for me. That's something I pride myself on. So I think staying humble, having hustle, two of the biggest things for me. And I can kind of go into my story a little bit. It's interesting, when I was thinking about that, the first thing I landed on was something that I almost never talk about to anyone, you know, when I was at OSU and making new friends or even on social media very much. But I did marching band for 6 years when I was in high school, which was kind of a weird place to start. But when I think about my story, that I think was one of the most pivotal events of my life. Doing that for 6 years, I went to West Salem High School. For anyone who's from Oregon, they might know where that is. And that was just such a pivotal time in my life where I really learned to step up to the plate as a leader. And that's where I fell in love with leadership and inspiring others and learning how much I have to give and how gratifying that can be to work as a team and lead others to success. So that is kind of what propelled my journey into leadership, business, and just being so much more confident in myself. Like, if you asked 12-year-old me what I was doing today, it would not be this. I was so much more introverted, so different than I am today. So I guess kind of that event in my life started my whole story, if you will, I feel like.
Yeah, what happened then? You say you were introverted, then what happened?
Yeah, I think, you know, part of it was that I was just broken out of my shell by default. I was kind of forced to. Our band director just appointed me in a leadership position after I was in the program for a few years. And that was a time when, you know, I had to start leading other students, some of them even being older than me. And you have to learn to carry yourself, you know, with confidence to be taken seriously and to work with people who are maybe even older than you. And it was a challenge that I didn't know I was ready for, but it was really gratifying, and it pushed my limits as a person in ways that I never thought of before. Because yeah, before I was so introverted, I really wasn't open to change. I liked to be in my kind of own little bubble of everything. And that experience taught me that when I step out of my comfort zone into something that I'm absolutely not prepared for, that's where I see the most growth. And you usually, you know, get to the finish line and realize, like, that wasn't so bad. That was actually really awesome. And I would totally do that again. And it totally changed my mindset of life. And I think, kind of like what I said, that is why it was such a pivotal part for me to be who I am now.
And is that where you got all of your confidence as well too?
I feel like a little bit, you know, that was kind of the first stepping stone. And then coming into college was when I started my fashion blog, which, you know, evolved into social media, influencing, content creation, all of that. And then that also kind of snowballed into a newfound confidence, I think. Just building my own brand and finding confidence, whether it's in front of the camera, taking photos and doing videos, or just in my own business, being busy, business savvy, and you know, seeing my hard work paying off and trusting my intuition. So the confidence, I think, has kind of found its way into my life in a lot of different, like, trial and error through the things that I've done. But yeah, from high school to college to now, it's just been like massive, massive growth, and really has started to, I guess, write my story.
What is, tell us about your family. What's the part of
family? Yeah, you know, that's a huge part of my life too. And also one of the answers I kind of wanted to tell about my story, like, family is everything to me. I'm an only child. So I am really close to, yeah, woo. it's so funny. People kind of have this, like, perception of what, like, only children are, and then like sometimes, you know, you either meet their stereotype or not. But yeah, I'm super close to my parents, and you know, was grown up taught to be very family oriented. And I think back to kind of the work ethic that I talked about at the beginning, that has like truly stemmed from my family and you know, everything that they've come from. I'll go into it just a little bit. So my dad immigrated to the United States when he was 8 years old from Hong Kong. And my mom was born in San Francisco. And I just remember we have family Thanksgivings every year. And that's, you know, one of the best times for us to get together as a family because we all live in different states. And I just remember it was maybe when I was like 8 or 10 years old or something like that. You know, as a child, it's hard to comprehend a lot of things, but you can still kind of like feel the weight in the room when there's like important things being talked about. And I remember our family like sat us all down on my dad's side one Thanksgiving and just like told stories about my grandparents and, you know, my dad and his siblings immigrating here and what their life was like before all of that. And so my grandparents, they grew up in a rural village in China with a life absolutely not like the one that they live today. You know, they grew up in poverty. It was an absolute struggle, and they knew that they wanted to move to America and bring their family here, their kids, so that their kids could have a better life than they did. You know, they didn't want to be stuck in that same cycle. And that, I guess, kind of value has just been passed through our family so well that every generation, we want to have a better life than the past. And that's why we work so hard to be able to, you know, give that to our children. And I think you also carry this very, like, I know I do, a very honorable weight from everything that my parents have sacrificed, that my grandparents have, that, you know, they didn't give up everything that they did and work so hard for me to not take advantage of every opportunity that I have in life. Like, they took huge risks for me to be where I am today. And it would be a shame if I didn't work my absolute butt off to do everything I can to make them proud. So yeah, that's a little bit about my family.
So are you telling me that your work ethic is coming from the family?
100%. Yeah. And I don't think it's ever something that they maybe taught in the sense of like, you know, my parents every day reminding me that you need to work hard or something like that. But you see the example that, you know, your parents set for you, that your grandparents do, and you know that you just want to do the same. They really lead by example, and that's totally been carried down into me.
We went through childhood, and I want to actually talk more about it, but let's go 80 years from now.
Okay.
And let's do a quick imagination together. And let's imagine you're turning 80 years old.
Oh gosh, 80 years old.
Right? Let's imagine you're turning 80 years old and it's your birthday day.
Mm-hmm.
It's your birthday, you coming home and you being surprised for your 80th birthday with all of your family there, all of your relatives, loved ones, friends. And Marissa, your birthday gift for your 80th birthday is a letter. It's a letter from all these people that are writing to you to let you know what you have meant to them, what impact you have left in their lives,
mm-hmm.
and what role you have played for them. Marissa, what do you want this letter to say?
Oh gosh. I think the first thing that comes to mind kind of stems from the same thing that I talked about earlier, but you know, I strive to lead by example in the best way possible. And I hope whether that is, you know, of course my close family and friends that I share the most of my life with, or even people through social media, that I guess for the letter to say that I've made a positive impact on them. That's either a cheesy, very general answer that everyone gives, or I don't know, but I hope when it gets to, you know, kind of like the end of my life, I know that I made a lasting impact on my family, my friends, like those I've just like touched in life. If anything else, I think that is what I strive to do.
What are you doing right now? So when you get to that age, you won't ask yourself, oh, I could have done that. I should have done that.
Like the things that can you rephrase the question?
what are you doing right now, or like the way that you live in your life?
Okay.
How would it help you to not have regrets when you're getting 8 years old?
Yeah, I think the first thing that comes to mind, because I'm very career driven, is, okay, what am I doing in my career to not like have those regrets when I'm 80 years old? And I think this, I'm gonna kind of jump the gun and answer the last question that I know you ask at the end of the podcast, but I just, to make sure that that never happens, totally live by taking advantage of every opportunity that I have. You know, working my butt off to make sure I'm prepared for every opportunity that may come down the line, and open doors when maybe the opportunity hasn't presented itself, but I know that I can make one. I think that's huge, to never have any regrets, especially in your career. That could, you know, even be personal too. If you're looking for friends or a relationship, or you want to go travel or something like that, to make that stuff happen for yourself and always take advantage of the opportunity. I hope that answers the question, but I think that's just kind of a mindset thing that I have in everything I do, to not, you know, let anything pass me by. More so in work than personal life, I am still kind of, I don't like change a ton. I'm very much a homebody. I love to stay in my apartment more than, you know, like go out and adventure and stuff. But I do my best to live by that, to take advantage of every opportunity that I have.
One of the main things I think, Marissa, that helps a lot with not having that one day that, oh, what if I have done that, is just doing what you love to do at the moment.
Totally.
Yeah. And one of the things I'm noticing with you from our just like 10 minutes, 15 minutes I've been talking so far, that is you have that work ethic. And you have that the mindset of an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. that you do not want to live an ordinary life.
Totally.
Which is very obvious from this short conversation, because that's what one of the things that Yes Am tries to put out there, that like, hey, you don't want to live your life like your yesterday, you mm-hmm. know. You want new challenges. You want new stuff. You want to do what you love. You don't want to wake up, snooze your alarm because you don't want to go to work, you right. know, because that's when you know, I feel like when you snooze your alarm, maybe that's a, like a way to get to know, like, okay, do I really love what I'm doing? Then why did I snooze my alarm?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't feel like if you want to go out to hang out with friends, you're not going to snooze your alarm, because you love to go hang out with your friends.
Yeah, you're excited to do it.
Yeah, you're excited to do it. So if you're not excited for what your work is, then that's not probably what you love to do.
100%. And,
yeah. So one of the things I usually ask this at the end, but I want to ask you this one at the beginning. Are you relatable?
Am I relatable? I hope so. I do my best to be. You know, that's kind of actually one of the reasons I fall in love with social media in a yeah. very kind of like backwards way.
Yeah.
Starting to do, you know, like social media influencing and stuff like that, is I do my best to be relatable and authentic in, right. You know, all of my content, because social media, a place where so many of us spend so much of our time like consuming content, and it, you know, kind of changes our perspective of the world and stuff. I think it's so important to remain relatable and authentic and genuine and show that side of life, because it's so easy to get caught up in the highlight reel that social media is. So in that sense, I do my best to try and be relatable. And I think that's definitely a quality to have as a leader as well, to be, you know, an inspiring figure for people to look up to, but to always find ways to tie yourself back to the people that you're working with. And I know I was actually just talking about it the other day to someone, because you mentioned entrepreneur. I do know I'm going to be an entrepreneur one day, 100%. And that is another value that I know I'll always carry with me, that I want to be relatable to them. I want them to know that I would never ask them to do anything I wouldn't be willing to do myself. I always want to lead in the most authentic way possible.
So you say you're relatable, and you're trying to be more relatable within your content as well too, through social media.
Mm-hmm.
How are you relatable? When people are like talking to you, I know you're relatable, but I want to hear from you that you think is relatable about you.
Yeah, I'll start on kind of like maybe the content level of all of it all. So I mainly focus on like fashion and lifestyle content, fashion being the biggest pillar of my content. And from the beginning, I've just done my best, especially as a college student. Most of the people I was talking to were college students or even high schoolers who were looking at, you know, my fashion content. And it's so unrelatable to look at someone every day who's wearing a new outfit and shopping all the time, and they want to dress like you, but like financially they absolutely can't. And so I knew I wanted to make my fashion content relatable in the sense that, you know, I'd wear a lot of the same pieces over and over again and style it in different ways so that I could say, hey, you know, you can buy this one shirt, but you can make it stylish in like five different ways. And I'm going to be relatable to you and show you how to do that, because we're all still college students here, not with a big budget, but like want to look cute at the same time. Yeah. And I also just try and keep it real in my YouTube videos or on my Instagram stories, where I can share so much more of my personality and my life, like talking like this, and just keep it real with them. I'm like, hey, what's going on? Whether it's a good or a bad day, here's the ups and downs of my job or my life. Let me just be relatable to you in that way and show you everything else that goes on in my life, not just a very curated picture on Instagram.
So this is actually very interesting that you brought up, because I had a conversation. Our first episode of this season is with Sonia, which she's also very involved in YouTube and social media in general. And we were talking about that, how much are we, or like how different the picture that you portrayed in social media is to who you really are.
Totally.
Who you really are. And I want to know your answer. Like, you go with the name Marissa K, right?
Yeah. K is my middle name for anyone who doesn't know that. Yeah. So I go by Marissa K. It's kind of stuck on Instagram.
So I want to know this. Who is Marissa when she's not in front of camera?
Yeah, I love that question. You know, I already know I'm going to like post a little clip of this on my Instagram, because I think it'll be so fun for people to see. One, everyone thinks, this is so funny, everyone thinks I'm way taller on social media than I am in real life. So anyone who meets me in real life will be like, I did not realize you were that short. So real Marissa is 5 feet tall. She is not as tall as she looks like she is in her Instagram photos. But I think also in real life, I'm way more sarcastic than probably you can't really give off sarcasm in a photo. But I am, yeah, way more like sarcastic and maybe, yeah, a little like more off the cuff than people think I am. But also I think one thing that social media doesn't show is just all of the other things that you do in your life, how you spend your free time and everything. And my life can appear very materialistic on Instagram, because I'm always talking about, you know, new fashion or products that are being sent to me or something like that. But half the time I'm wearing like sweatpants and a sweatshirt, like at least 5 days a week. I'm not, you know, even dressed how I am right now. I love sweatpants and leggings as much as the next person. And I spend most of my time like at home, just cozied up doing like everyday normal things. I'm not trying to put my Instagram life on a pedestal in any way. But the real Marissa K is way more unfiltered than I think everyone thinks that she is.
You know, like you put content out there, you create social media, you're, as I said, you're an entrepreneur, and a life in an entrepreneur is full of challenges, struggles, and failures.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure you failed, but what are some failures that you have faced?
Yeah, you know, I think of the first one was actually, hopefully this could be really relatable to a lot of students watching this at OSU. I think one of the most recent times I actually felt like true like failure that I was totally gutted by it was, I believe it was my junior year of college. You know, that junior to senior year summer is when a lot of people are like looking for internships, and for different careers you're like really expected to find an internship during that time. So basically rewind to back then, I had worked at Nordstrom for a couple years in retail sales because I knew I wanted to go into business and fashion. And I was up for one of their corporate internships, which they have an amazing internship program for anyone that wants to go into merchandising or buying, which is what I majored in at OSU. And I did, in my mind, everything I could to prepare for that internship, for the interview. I had already worked for the company for a couple of years. I was like, this is it. Like, this is my opportunity. And this is the best path that I have to like get where I want to go, work for the company I want to, get a full-time job in the city I want and the position I want. Like, it all just seemed like the stars were aligning. Mm-hmm. And I did make it through the first round of interviews. I did a second final interview. And then I believe like a week after that, I got a call from them that I didn't get the internship. And I think it was something like there were 500 applicants and they hired like six. It was crazy. And I was so, so gutted because for like years, my whole time when I was at college, I thought that that was my plan. I thought that I was prepared for it and that was what I was going to do. And I felt like a failure for not having done that because rejection sucks, like in any form. It's never a good feeling, especially when you feel like you work so hard for something and then life just kind of throws you a curveball and says like, actually, no, that's not true. And I attach so much of like who I am to my work because I find it so gratifying. It really felt like a knock to my self-confidence of like, kind of like, what is wrong with me? Like, why am I not enough to be able to do this? Like I thought that I was. So that was definitely like a really big, at the time, what felt like a huge failure. In hindsight, it was just redirection and my life has in the other direction become like 10 times better than I could have imagined. But at the time it felt like a massive failure. And when you're in college and looking for a job and that's what you're preparing for, it's like, it's a massive hit.
So how did you recover from this failure? Or like, what did you learn from it?
Yeah. You know, I totally remember honestly, like crying like that day and the day after. I could not believe like what had just happened. I think it took me, you know, maybe a couple weeks. I kind of just like hunkered down with school. I think it was like around midterms and dead week and then finals. So I didn't have a whole lot of time to like process everything else. I just had to keep going. But after that, I think I kind of just started to reevaluate merchandising as a whole, as a career path. Spoiler, I don't work in merchandising right now. I work in social media marketing full time. But I think it was like a big reality check for me at the time because I was like, okay, this opportunity isn't really going to work out. I need to start thinking about in the last year of college what I can do to still prepare myself to get a job afterwards. And social media was the next thing. And I did kind of have in the back of my mind the whole time I was in college that social media marketing could kind of be the thing that I fell back on if merchandising didn't work or just if I changed my mind. So I really dedicated myself in my senior year to apply myself to my business, doing social media marketing on the influencer side and just learning as much as I could, doing like informational interviews and stuff like that. I really just had to have a very quick redirection of, okay, what do I do now? What's the best thing I can do to prepare myself? And as I started to explore another route a little bit more, I found like, actually this seems to suit me so much more than what I was trying to pursue before. And it was kind of serendipitous in that way that my plan B was actually way better than my plan A. I just didn't quite know it until I explored it.
I think like one of the main things we want to definitely put out there through this podcast is that I think one of the main things that anyone can relate to is we all have ups and downs in our lives and we all fail, and it just, it's always like a roller coaster. It's never like a perfect line up, and it could be a perfect line down. It could be like this, and that happens whenever you challenge and you fail, you give up. And when you give up, it just keeps getting darker and darker to get up.
Totally.
And so I think that's something that I want everyone that's watching this podcast to remember, that it's okay if you face a challenge. You just got to choose the lesson and a blessing that you can from that challenge.
For sure. One thing that just made me think of is, I think a huge lesson to take in life is just that you can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you react to everything. And so in those moments of failure or, you know, life throwing you a curveball or something. It happens. That's life. And the most that you can do is control how you're going to react to it. Stay positive, you know, prepare for the next thing and just keep pushing forward. And that will really be a testament to your character.
Definitely. Definitely. Marisa, do you feel lonely, or have you felt lonely growing up?
I have. That kind of goes back to the stereotype thing we talked about with like being an only child. I don't know about you, but as a kid, people would always ask when I'd say I'm an only child, like, oh, don't you get lonely? Like, you don't have any siblings to hang out with or anything like that. And in a way, I think being an only child just taught me to be comfortable by myself in my free time. Yes. Like, I feel, you know, I'm not going to single out all only children as like, we're the only ones who are like this. But I love spending time by myself. I really do. Like, I could spend all weekend not talking to a single person, like just doing my own thing, and I'm content. I am so content. Yeah. But yeah, there have definitely been moments in life where I felt lonely. Funny enough, some of them even being like in college, because I came into college with so many of my best friends already from high school, and I keep a pretty tight circle. I can count my best friends on like one hand. And so in college, I in some ways felt like I had everything that I needed on like a relationship basis. But at the same time, I did feel quite lonely in college because it was like hard to make friends with everyone. I didn't party very much in college. And so that wasn't really something that I did. And that's what everyone seemed to be interested in. And so I'd usually just hang back and work or study in my apartment or something like that. I felt lonely in that way because I was just always kind of doing my own thing and I was happy doing it. But at the same time, kind of got caught up in like the FOMO of like, but should I be doing this? Like, I do feel kind of lonely, like not being involved in all the things that I think I should be during college or something like that. But yeah, I've definitely had moments where I felt lonely.
That you know, like the fact that you said you start thinking, I want to ask you this, do you overthink?
Oh yeah, 100%. I can go down rabbit holes for days in my brain.
You still do, right? And how has it been impacting your decisions?
Overthinking?
Yeah.
You know, I think one thing that, I'll try not to overshare too much, but one thing that really helped was, I think it's been almost a year now. I actually started therapy last spring. A lot happened in my life, like this time last year in 2020. And it seemed like just the best decision. I wanted to go to therapy for myself, for my happiness and everything that was changing in my life. Overthinking being one of the things, because when you just get caught up in your own thoughts all of the time, you know, sometimes you just need an outside perspective to kind of help you weed through everything and figure everything out. So I think from that, like, I learned a lot of great coping mechanisms and figure out, I think at the root, like, why is it that you're thinking this way? Why are you overthinking this? And you can kind of rein everything back from there. So it's not so much a problem anymore. I think I try and be more analytic now rather than overthinking everything, like irrationally, try and do it rationally.
Yeah, you know, Marisa, I think overthinking is a big challenge for especially people within our age, you know, in a young age. A simple text can make us overthink. It's as simple as that. Anything can make us overthink. And the thing about it that I'm really, one of the things I'm really trying to help people with on to kind of solve, hopefully, within this podcast is overthinking. Because overthinking is like a barrier towards being optimistic.
For sure.
You know, when you overthink a lot, you get involved with a lot of negative thoughts and you just get lost in them. And you check your time. Oh, 30 minutes I've been overthinking.
Yeah, that's a lesson I learned actually in college and like starting my business and everything is, yeah, in the process of, because I'm a perfectionist too, put overthinking and being a perfectionist together, it's like awful. But I think one thing that college very quickly taught me and then also starting my own business was that in that process of overthinking, like all of that time that you're trying to figure out what is the best, most perfect thing that I can do right now, instead, you could just start and it's going to be scary, and you're not going to like it. But if you just start, like, you'll figure it out. And whether it's, I love this, whether it's now, so whether it's good or bad, just starting will help you figure everything out. And it'll pay off so much more than overthinking. If you can just snap yourself out of it, take that leap of faith and go with your gut. I think that's something I've learned to trust a lot, is just what is my instinct telling me to do. More often than not, it's right. And if it's not, then I'll learn from it. And that's life.
Yeah, you know, like, and it's very interesting, because the more you wait to make a decision, harder it gets to make that decision.
Totally.
You know, it's more hard it gets. And I learned this way of stop overthinking from David Howitt. And I want to put it out there for whoever wants to just pick it up and stop overthinking. And what I learned is, when you overthink, take it one step back and start observing your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Do not stop them. Observe them. What observing does, it reminds you that you are not your thoughts. You are not involved in them. They are just thoughts. They're just stories that are going around. And you observe them and you say, okay, cool, I'm not them. And you just live your life. You know, the movie Inception is a big example of overthinking. You know, in the movie Inception, they just keep going into the time. Why? Because they want to solve something, or they want to do something. You know, they're involved in it. That's why they keep going inside the time. And if they just stop and observe, that's it. It will stop, you know, because it all gets harder and harder because they're involved in it.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing as meditation, I think. Meditation, when you meditate, you focus on your breathing, you're not really necessarily stopping your thoughts, you're just letting them flow.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I'm just putting it out there for whoever overthinks. Marisa, I wanna know about do you call yourself a kid?
Do I call myself a kid? I don't think so. Sometimes in my mind, I'm like surprised I'm 22 and not still like 18 or something. I feel like I was a kid just yesterday. But I definitely feel more adult than kid at this point.
Yeah. No, like, one of the things I'm very interested in is basically to kind of, I am a big fan of my inner child.
Mm-hmm.
I want to keep it always alive. You know, I watch Disney, I watch Pixar, to just keep that my inner child alive and just be a troublemaker. I want to know how what you do, you know?
I feel like I'm kind of the opposite. I think that was also something I really struggled with in college, is that because I'm a visionary, I'm always thinking forward to the future. Like, mm-hmm. I'll tie back to the kid thing. It's very difficult for me to live in the present because I'm always thinking about what's next, and I'm always looking forward to what's next, which usually also means being older. And you kind of always have this like narrative in your mind of like, when, like, 4 years from now, like, things will be better, things will be different. And so I think even from when I was a kid, mm-hmm. I was always kind of looking forward to the next step. And maybe some people can relate to this, just that feeling of like being so eager to grow up, mm-hmm. because of what you imagine life is going to be like once you're grown up. I've kind of had like the opposite problem. I think I probably didn't spend my childhood or even high school or college doing all of the things that I should be doing at that age, but instead kind of jumping the gun to everything that's after that.
Yeah, I feel like that's because I was like that, and then something happened in my life and it all changed it for me to kind of, okay, I need to slow down, be a kid a little bit more. But I think that's one of the things about us as only child. You know, we are very like, want to just go, okay, what's next? What's next? You know, we want to go after it. You brought it up as being an only child. I want to know more about that. How does that impact your life? You know, how does that have been helpful to you? And how does it, do you feel like, okay, things would have been better if I had a sibling?
Yeah, I think I'll start. I think in general, how it's impacted my life is mainly like we talked about before, just being comfortable by myself. Even something as small as, it's so funny, I just keep thinking about everything with college, probably because I know a lot of people who are listening to this will be students, but even something as simple as freshman year, every time I went to the dining hall, I usually went by myself because my roommate and I, we were best friends, but our schedules were like totally opposite. Yeah. So we never get to eat together. And so I would just go to the dining hall by myself between classes or whenever I was hungry. And I just like sit by myself doing homework or on my phone or something. I'd look around and everyone else would always be like eating with their friends.
Yeah.
And I found it so strange. I'm like, I know I'm not supposed to feel out of place. And I do feel fine sitting by myself, but there's something really weird about this. And so that stemmed from being an only child. And yeah, like I said, just being so used to always being by yourself and being kind of confident being on your own. I think that's definitely had the biggest impact. But also something that I think I had to grow out of a lot of as a kid was I think as an only child, because you're by yourself, you're not compared to anyone else. All of the attention is kind of on you from your family. And as a kid, I definitely had a problem with like comparison and people copying me because I so much like to be unique and my own person. And that's like, that was something that I definitely had to learn how to grow out of over time, which I definitely have learned too. But yeah, those are like the two things that come to mind when I think about how being an only child has kind of impacted my life.
Interesting. Does that mean you said like kind of being comfortable within yourself? Does that mean you accepted who you are?
Yeah, I think in a way, they're kind of like two different levels. Maybe part of it being like physically alone by yourself, I have no problem doing going to a restaurant, going on errands, just living my life by myself, not always having to feel like I need to be surrounded by people, whether it's like my friends or partner or something like that. I think accepting yourself is another level, and that's something that I've worked really hard on for the last year. I don't know if that has any correlation to being an only child. Hopefully that's something that like comes with time, that you learn to accept yourself and, you know, be happy with who you are. But that was something that I worked really, really hard on for the last year, because that's something I've struggled with for a while.
Yeah. Sounds like, I mean, you keep kind of like going back to actually last year as a very challenging year. What was the challenge for you?
Yeah. So in 2020, let's see, I mean, so much changed in the world. That was when, you know, COVID started. This part might be cut out. I'm going to be totally honest. Just, I know you said like at the end, we might say some parts are cut out. I'll try and like answer this the best I can. I don't know if it'll be in it. But last spring was, let's see, COVID started. I was coming up on graduation. I graduated in 2020, in June. I got my first job in Portland, full-time job. And I got it at the end of, let's see, it's like mid-March right now. I got it around this time. I actually just had my 1 year anniversary at the company that I'm at. So much was changing. COVID happened. I moved to Portland. I got a job in Portland. I was graduating in a few months. And on top of that, I also had a massive breakup. This might be really relatable, so we'll see if we keep this in. Yeah. But I have been in a relationship for about 4.5 years prior to that, all throughout college. And you know, it wasn't something that I was expecting at all. And all of those different life changes just kind of piled on top of each other in the span of like a month was just like huge for me and a lot to deal with, because like I mentioned briefly before, I don't do very well with change. Like I like the same routine every day. I like to be in the same place and just kind of expect everything that's going to happen in life, because I'm also a planner. And so for all of that to change, it really just put me like out of myself. It wasn't something that I was used to, and I didn't really know how to deal with all of that at once. And so it was a really pivotal time for me to figure out like, who am I by myself? Because I think a lot of people who maybe have been through a big breakup can relate to this, where you feel like afterwards, you like don't really know who you are anymore because you've been with that person for so long. And you kind of have to like separate yourself from each other. And then you have to step back and ask yourself, like, who am I by myself and at my core? And am I happy with that being by myself? But that's a huge question to ask, especially when you're so young, is like, am I comfortable in my own skin? And am I happy with who I am by myself, or do I feel like I need someone else to like complete that? So all of those different things together, I think, just made the last year a huge time for me to grow into my own skin and like learn my own strength and figure out who I feel like I'm really meant to be.
So this is a good story. This is a good story because the ending was good, right? It taught a lot of lessons. Am I right?
Totally.
It helped you to be more comfortable with yourself and kind of find happiness, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. You said this might be relatable. I think definitely relatable, you know, because I'm pretty sure you've heard this before, but like you cannot love anybody before you love yourself first.
Totally, 100%.
You know, and that's a huge part out of these kind of breakups and these kind of relationships that when we are young and get into a relationship, we are depending on someone also, you know. But when this kind of happens, as you said, and I'm very happy that you learned that big lesson from it, because some people, as I said, you know, when they go through a challenge, they don't like take the lesson from it and they just give up. And it gets darker and darker from that. And I'm happy that you did. And I think it's very powerful. That's very amazing. You said there was a lot going on then, you know. And I'm pretty sure you went through an emotional roller coaster then. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to tell us maybe three things that you picked up from that, like, you know, one of those like dark moments that we go through, what are those three things are?
Okay, let me think about this a little bit. I think one of the things, because it's funny, so I'm sitting on my couch in my living room, in my apartment, and I spend a lot of my time here because I sit on my couch all the time, watching TV, working, eating, all of that. But during that time, if I was to rewind literally like almost a year ago to the day when I first moved in here, I remember sitting in this spot and just feeling like so defeated and so alone, and like no one really understood what was going on. And kind of back to the social media thing, I also felt like I couldn't share what was going on because people know Marissa Kay as one thing, and then your life is like the absolute complete opposite. And you feel this weird peer pressure to continue to hold up that standard that everyone knows you as. And so I remember almost a year ago, just sitting right here on my couch, looking out at the city and feeling so alone in this new place. My life had just changed. And now I sit in the same spot, and like physically, emotionally, mentally, I feel the complete opposite. And I kind of like, you know, pat myself on the back in a way of just like, know that, like, there's a quote, and it's probably from like Pinterest or something, but it's like, this too shall pass, and like only time will heal everything. And you just have to, you know, kind of go with the ebb and flow of life and give yourself the time that you need to heal, to make peace with everything, and just trust in the timing of life and that everything will be okay in time. Because I can sit in the same spot now and feel totally different than I did before. And at that time, I felt like I was in such a dark place that I wouldn't get out of, but I did, and we're here now. As far as like, I can't really think of two other things off the top of my head, but that was a huge thing, just to trust in the timing of life and know that everything will kind of work itself out in time.
Amazing. Amazing. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Marissa. We're getting close to the end of this podcast, and it's been amazing talking to you. And I feel like whatever you have said till now are very relatable to anyone, especially college students, especially people within our age. Because a lot of things that you went through and you faced are things that people within our age have them in daily basis. And as someone that now graduated and doing amazing stuff with your life, I think you can be a light in these people's lives. So thank you for sharing your story. The last question I love to ask is, what was the biggest lesson you learned in your life?
Yeah, I think it goes back to what I kind of hinted at before, of just take advantage of every opportunity that you have. And some of that, you know, being rooted for me and my family, because I know that all of the opportunities I'm given now would not be possible without their sacrifice. But also, it's just a huge lesson I've learned time and time again. When I take a leap of faith for a new opportunity, whether it's in college, like something as simple as networking with someone, to things in my business where I took a leap of faith, trying something new or just pushing myself harder in what I do. And it always pays off in the end. Like, I never regret not taking advantage of an opportunity when it presented itself to me. And coming back to the other thing you said of, like, at the end of your life, what are you going to regret? And what you're going to regret is everything that you didn't do. So it's kind of like, just do it now. Like, I promise you, just do it now. Take advantage of every opportunity that you're given, because it could, like, it could change your life very well, and you'll never know until you try.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm going to tell you a couple of words, and I want to tell you, I want you to tell me how you feel about them with a word. Okay. Family.
Everything.
With you.
Well, I was going to say home, but that was kind of weird. Then next that comes up is best college town in the Pac-12.
Social media.
A highlight reel.
Marissa.
K.
Marissa K.
Yeah, but what is Marissa K? And then I can kind of spin off of that.
This conversation.
Impactful and inspirational.
Thank you so much, Marissa. We call ourselves Yes, I Am, because we believe you can put any word in front of it and be that person.
For sure.
If Marissa wants to choose a word to put in front of Yes, I Am, what would it be? Yes, I am what?
Resilient. I think that's huge throughout my life. That I've lived and everything that I want to do in the future, to just remain resilient to whatever life throws at you. You know, like I said, the most you can do is choose how you react to the situation, and every time pick yourself up, keep going, push yourself harder, and just remain resilient through it all, and you'll go very, very far.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Marissa, for saying yes to Yes I Am podcast. It's been amazing talking to you, and these podcasts that we record never disappoint me, because I always come with an open mind and ready to get inspired. And anytime this happens, anytime I learn new stuff, and I learned a lot from you. Thank you so much for sharing, Marissa. Thank you for sharing your story, and thank you everyone for watching this episode. If you would like to watch other episodes of Yes I Am podcast, you can go to our Instagram at YIA_YesIAM and watch the other episodes. And as always, thank you so much, and Yes I Am.